Welcome to Kairos Church, where we encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. We're so glad you're here. Join us each week as we dive into God's Word and explore what it means to live a life of faithful worship, devoted discipleship, authentic community, and intentional mission. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you in person. Our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome here anytime. Hope you enjoy the service.
Out. There's not something we can place our trust in. Or thieves can break in and steal these things. And if our hope is in these things that are not lasting, that can be taken away from us, if our affections are too tied to our stuff, this can lead to constant disappointment. And so Jesus, he's trying to point us to a better way to live. For us to begin treasuring things that last, things that are actually worthy of our trust. He calls this storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, this phrase, it might seem a little cryptic. What does it mean to store up treasures in heaven? Let me clarify that a biblical understanding of heaven is not simply a place that you go when you die. Heaven is the realm where God dwells. The Bible uses the phrase the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God interchangeably. And John Mark Comer, he says that perhaps a better translation of this phrase, treasures in heaven, would be treasures in God. Anytime that our treasures and that what God aligns with God's character and God's purposes in our lives, when we treasure those things, that is how we start to store up things that have lasting significance in our lives. Things that we would say have eternal value. Well, a treasure in heaven would be any way that we use our resources to further God's kingdom work. Anytime we use our resources to bless other people, to give generously, to spread the love of Jesus into our world. Anytime we use our resources to lift other people up, to increase justice in our world. Anytime we use our resources in things that increase faith, hope, and love. When we give what we have to share with others rather than hoarding it for ourselves. Did you notice Jesus doesn't give us a list of these are the things that you must do to store up treasures in heaven? He doesn't specifically spell it out what that looks like, and I kind of like that because it allows us to use our imaginations, to be prayerful about what might it look like for you to be called to use your money in this way. What if you began to pray about how God wants you to use your money? What a novel concept, right? And maybe that's the problem for a lot of us. We often start by assuming everything that we have is ours to use however we want. And we forget that even our ability to earn wealth is a gift from God. Everything that we've been given is a gift from God. So what if we as a community began by asking God, God, how do you want me to invest what you've given me in things that last, in things that truly matter, and ways that make a difference for your kingdom? God, how might you be calling me to be more generous with my life and my resources? How might you be calling me to use what I've been given to bless other people? And then just start to watch what happens. And Jesus says, when we do this, do you know what happens is our hearts start to follow that direction. We want to do it more. Have you ever been around a generous person? It's like it just oozes out of them. They can't help it. Our hearts follow what we treasure. Well, another reason that Jesus encourages us to invest in treasures in heaven is that generosity, it brings joy. The next section of scripture, it might seem like a little bit of a non sequitur when we read through it, but this was the section, verses 22 and 23, where it says that the eye is the lamp of the body, and if the eyes are healthy or good, the whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy or bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Well, this is where learning about ancient figures of speech and idioms is actually quite helpful. Did you know that in Hebrew and Greek, that phrase, good eye, was an idiom for a generous person? So the people who originally heard this, they would know, that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about generosity. In Proverbs 22:9, it says, he who is generous will be blessed, for he gives food to the poor. Again, a literal translation of that, where it says generous, would be he who has a good eye will be blessed because he gives food to the poor. This is how they used to refer to this spirit of generosity. Well, Jesus says having a good eye is like having a lamp shining into your life. Generosity, it lights up our lives because it gives us joy. And conversely, having a bad eye means being stingy. And people who are stingy, greedy, and who do not exhibit generosity, this brings darkness to their souls. Let me ask you this. Have you ever met an unhappy, generous person? It's almost like those two things are oxymorons, right? Generous people are some of the most joyful people you'll ever meet. But I'll bet you've met an unhappy, stingy person. I'll bet you've met an unhappy person who is really materialistic. I bet you've met an unhappy person who is always worried about their money. Even our books and movies exemplify this. I think we have on the screen a couple of characters you're probably familiar with. Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Carol. Remember how he was? He was so stingy to the point that he was like mean to other people and no one liked him. And then there's Gollum, who was so obsessed with that ring, my precious, everywhere he went, that it eventually turned him into this little beast that's actually quite terrifying to look at up there. But these are extreme examples of the way that the love of money and material things can start to transform us. And these are reminders that what we love, it really does shape our hearts. And so the opposite is true. Generosity, it breeds contentment. It brings light to our souls. And it affects the way we see the world around us. And this, it doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter who is richer or poorer. If you have this abundance mindset, you believe that there's enough to go around. You start to believe that everything we have is a gift from God, and that therefore we have enough to share. Did you know this? That from an income perspective, it's actually people in the lowest income brackets that are more generous than people in the highest income brackets from a percentage perspective of what they give away of their income. There was a study done at UC Berkeley and their Greater Good Science Center, and it showed that actually people in the lowest income brackets, they gave away more partially because of their proximity to other people who were suffering. That they had more compassion, and they, when they saw someone else who had less than they were, they believed that they had the power to do something to help, and they gave from their limited resources to give that person a hand up. I find that so interesting. But what we see is that these people, they see that what I have is enough to share. It's living into this, what we call an abundance mindset, that there is enough to go around. On the flip side, as we talked about this bad eye or the scarcity mindset, is this belief instead that I have to hold on tightly to what is mine because either I don't have as much as other people, or maybe if I let go of what I have, there won't be enough for me. But it's this never-ending cycle of getting stuck with, of holding on tightly to what we have. And the research shows that generosity leads to this abundance mindset. That as we start to be generous, that we are able to let go of more of what we have. The research on generosity also had some other fascinating findings. I've discovered this, that said that people who are generous tend to be happier, healthier, less depressed and anxious, they exhibit more personal growth, they have better relationships, they laugh more, and have higher life expectancy. Anyone ready for me to pass that offering basket around to start reaping some benefits right now? Just kidding, of course. But my guess is that we all want to be more generous people. We want to live these kinds of lives. No one wants to be known as that miserly, greedy, stingy person who's always worried about their money. Yet, it's easy for that scarcity mindset to start to creep in. It's natural to want to hold on to what is ours and to ensure that we're going to be financially secure. And guess what? Being generous is often an act of faith. We have to trust that when I open my hands to share with others or to invest in God's kingdom work, that God will take care of me. We have to trust that it truly is more blessed to give than to receive, and that there is more joy in giving than storing up treasures for myself. Well, I recently heard a story about a church out in California. They actually did a sermon series on fasting, but they gave an exercise at the end, and they said, hey, however much you fast for a day and however much money you would have spent on food that day, do a little experiment. Pray about how God wants you to give that money away. So a woman from this church, she was towards the end of the day, she was at the grocery store getting food for her family, even though she had fasted, and she's pushing the cart through the grocery store and starts to pray, okay, Lord, how do you want me to give this money away? And the first thing she sees is a guy behind the meat counter with a scowl on his face. He did not look happy. And her first thought was, I don't want to give it to him. So she turns the corner, but she can't get his image out of her mind. She's like, okay. So she starts having this honest conversation with God. Okay, God, fine. But that's, he might not be in need. That might be awkward. So if there is a gift card at the checkout line when I go, I'll buy him a gift card and go give it to him. Well, sure enough, there are no gift cards. So she's like, blankly, says thanks, turns around and walks away. And she's like, oh, I offended him. This was really embarrassing. Oh, maybe I wasn't listening to God. Leaves home with this kind of terrible feeling rather than the joy of generosity. Well, the next week she goes back to the grocery store and she sees the guy. And this time he's got a big smile on his face when he sees her. And he goes, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And so she's like, sure. And he said, I just needed to tell you that day that you came in was a really dark day for me. He's like, I've been depressed for a while. And I woke up that morning and I was really in a place of despair. And I said to God, God, if you're there, you're gonna have to show me. And then you walked in and gave me the gift card. Well, y'all, these are the kinds of stories you're like, oh, I'm sure the pastor heard this somewhere and made it up. But this happened to my sister. She's the one who told me the story, and it was so moving to me because some of you have met my sister. She's just a regular old person. She's not some super Christian. She's a mom of two toddlers. She's just trying to go about her life, learning what it means to follow Jesus and how to live a generous life. And she tried to pray, to listen to God's Spirit for one day, and it made a difference in both of their lives, a story that neither of them will ever forget. And it really got me thinking, what if we began to live more in this way with all of our resources? What if we just simply started by being prayerful to the Lord? Lord, how do you want me to use the resources that you've given me? Maybe one day at a time, maybe over the period of this next year. Well, I sure would love to hear the stories that would come out of this experiment in our community. But one thing I know for certain is that we all would learn a lot more about the joy of giving. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you that everything we have is a gift from you, Lord, and that you are able to make all grace abound to us, Lord, so that we have more than enough to share with others. And so, Lord, I pray that each one of us here would take that seriously, Lord, to begin to be more prayerful, to listen to your Spirit, to maybe take risks, to give in big and small ways, and to watch what happens, Lord, how you're able to bless people around us, how we can find joy in giving away what you have given to us. And so we pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen.